For a limited time at McDonald's, get a Big Mac Extra Value Meal for $8. That means two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, and medium fries, and a drink. We may need to change that jingle.
Prices and participation may vary.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
That's a win for LA.
Double play to end the game.
Victory for the New York Yankees.
There will be a game three.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Earlier on the show,
Seahawks wide receiver Jackson Smith and Jigba. Chiefs wide receiver Xavier Worthy. NBA on NBC insider Chris Mannix. Coming up, actor Charlie Sheen. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yeah, baby. Hour number three of this Thursday show is on the air, and this is going to be awesome. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're live on Disney+. We're live on ESPN, the app, everywhere. And we're live on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. It's only fitting that we're live on ESPN Radio because the only other time I've spoken to this man in an interview setting was on ESPN Radio during the 1998 World Series coverage of the Padres and Yankees on ESPN Radio. Thrilled to have here in studio the Book of Sheen author Charlie Sheen is here, and also new part two docuseries, aka Charlie Sheen, is available now for streaming exclusively on Netflix. The book and the documentary and the man Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you. That was quite the introduction.
It's
Thank
the only
you.
Introduction I could possibly have.
Nice.
Again, yeah, nice. I spotted you in the old, I don't know if it was Qualcomm yet. It was definitely the old Jack Murphy Stadium.
Yeah, it was. I actually, Todd and I researched it in the car coming here.
Yes.
It was Qualcomm.
It was Qualcomm back in the day, and I was the first ever studio host of Major League Baseball on ESPN Radio, and I got a choice of anybody in the building I could interview during the middle of the fifth inning, and I saw you, and I went up to you. We had a nice chit chat.
Yes, we did. Yeah, but it was more about the time we spent together in our seats during the game.
That's right.
Before we went on the air.
That's right.
Yeah.
When we had a nice chat.
Yes, we did. And had I revealed to you that I had gotten a day pass from rehab to fly down there to attend that game? Did I leave that part
out?
Also,
no. You were very upfront, Charlie,
about a lot. Good, yes.
You told me also that you watched me and Stuart Scott all the time on SportsCenter.
Yes.
You said that you would watch us live at 11 o'clock Pacific. And then you would watch us over and over and over again because you were having some issues staying sober.
Yes.
And you would watch us over and over and over again to the point where you knew what I was going to say before I would say it in the rear. That's what you said to me.
We'd start quoting you in unison. Like White Dave, myself, Nick. And so, we were speaking it with you. In fact, I told Todd that story in the car coming here as well.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah, and it's like, so you were like at our parties. You just didn't have to suffer any of the fallout like the rest of us. You were safely tucked away up above the bar.
Safely tucked away, probably sleeping. You know, that when like the re-air at 5 in the morning was on the air.
Like the
I was
seventh
out.
Cycle. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
A different time. Like that there would be a show that's already in the can shown 7 different times in the morning as opposed to live. Now we're live on all these other things.
But it's
right
almost
now.
Like I conjured you in those moments to then have that cosmic collision course at the World Series. You know?
I know, and you were so cool about it, and we had a nice chat, and we got to meet there, and you're such a diehard baseball fan. I'll be honest with you. I had no idea. Your team is the Reds?
Oh, yeah. Has been for the last What's today? Yeah, the last 50 years. Yeah.
No kidding.
How about that?
No, yeah. No. And you showed me you got the Cincinnati logo on your right forearm right there.
I can see that. It's a little faded.
Why the Reds, though? Why the Reds?
Dad's from Dayton.
Okay.
And it was just the first team that we rooted for in our household. And the first 2 years I rooted for them, they won back-to-back World Series. Yeah.
That was when, you know, I was growing up in New York City and starting to root for the Yankees, and the Yankees got swept by the Big Red Machine.
They did.
And then Reggie showed into town and yada, 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 things changed.
Right. Yeah. You know? I think the Reds have have a 9-game winning streak in the World Series.
Ah, that's right.
Right?
We just got to get them back there.
Yeah. Well, that's
that's the conundrum.
That's the conundrum. Right. Yeah, because they won the final game in 75,
against Boston.
All four in 76. And then they sweep the A's in 90.
Yes.
So there it is. Yeah.
And it's still active.
It is.
You just got to get them back there to act upon it. That's
There's just decades between, you know.
You ever meet Pete Rose?
Yes. Yeah, we spent a lot of time
together. What was that like?
Yeah, he was a trip. He was, it wasn't just meeting him. It was watching an entire game with him at Dodger Stadium one night. Where we didn't plan on, you know, we didn't go together.
Sure.
I just showed up and sat down, and I'm with Pete Rose. So I got to see the game through his managerial brain, and he said something I'll never forget. He says, and, you know, we're on Disney, so I can't use the exact verbiage.
Yes.
Encarnacion has turned Griffey into a leadoff hitter three times tonight.
Oh,
which
okay.
I thought was like, oh, I didn't look at it like that.
Meaning that Griffey could have come up with men on base.
Exactly.
But they got the previous batter out to end the inning.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He would come on and he would basically say he doesn't understand why golfers talk about how difficult it is to play that sport because the ball doesn't move.
He makes a great point.
Is what he would always say. Because at least the ball I'm trying to hit moves, is what he would say.
Yeah, and everybody's whispering on a golf course in a baseball stadium. It's
maybe he said the same thing to you that night as well.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So you're a Reds fan, and Rob Lowe, I know who you've known since childhood,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
He's from Ohio also.
He is indeed,
and
yes.
And boy, did he really get it over the last couple of days, too.
Okay.
Dodger fans saying, you know, what happened here? How can you root for both?
You know what I mean? So I didn't need to pile on. It was already, that already happened to him.
No. He really got it.
Well, I was going to reach out to Chad and, you know, his younger brother.
That's
and say,
right.
Do you have a shot of us at Dodger Stadium in the 80s with Rob in full Reds gear?
Yes.
Because we used to go there and be like this lone pocket of
Reds fans.
Fandom for the Reds. Yeah.
He was just here, Rob, last week, I think, right?
Oh, he was.
He was just here last week.
Did he explain any of this?
He did not. Well, we didn't know that the Reds were going to make it. We thought the Mets were going to make it at the time.
So
we didn't front load it. But he did tell a story about meeting your dad for the first time, because we brought up obviously your dad because he acted with him in West Wing.
Sure.
And he said he met your dad for the first time in the neighborhood on a Halloween night trick-or-treating, and your dad had a baseball bat wearing fatigues, maybe from Apocalypse Now, trying to make sure that no one was going to egg your house.
Riding behind a bush.
Yeah, I think
that's what he said.
Is that in his book as well?
No, he literally said it in that chair a week ago.
Interesting. And did he claim also that Dad was wearing his helmet from Apocalypse?
He said fatigues that could have been from Apocalypse, is what he said.
I mean, does he have a photo of this moment?
I don't believe so. Just a photographic memory?
Yeah. Yes.
Are you saying that your dad wasn't patrolling the area on a Halloween night preventing your house from being egged?
I mean, I'd like to believe that I spent more time with my dad on Halloweens than Rob did. nothing that remotely resembles that ever took place.
Okay.
But hey, maybe it was that one Halloween when I was out of town.
It could have been. You could have been trick-or-treating yourself.
Maybe I'd already shot Platoon and I left my fatigues behind.
Could have been that.
And Dad was wearing those.
Could
have
been all of that. But you go back with Rob, right?
Yeah.
Like all that?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Neighborhood?
Yes,
time?
And Dodger Stadium in Reds gear. Just saying.
So what do you make of Ohtani, Charlie, when you see him, man? I mean, he's we've never seen anybody like him, right?
No, it's, when they say a unicorn, it's an understatement. You know, what's the next example or, you know, analogy that's more unique than a unicorn?
I don't, whatever that is, it's him, right?
Yeah, an invisible unicorn? I mean, I don't know. Or maybe they're all invisible, which is why we never see them.
That could be it. He's a visible unicorn.
He's a visible unicorn. That's the unicorn. One. That's the
I
thing.
Think we finally landed on it
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's a skill set. It's at a different level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's wow. And yeah, I think, you know, that we are blessed, granted, with this, at least for the next, 15 years?
Seems like it.
Maybe 20?
It seems like he could play forever. Certainly if he's just DHing and he's going to pitch game one of against the Phillies.
Oh, boy.
They announced it already.
Wow.
I know. It's going to be his first playoff pitching appearance. Because we saw last year he didn't even pitch, and the Dodgers went ahead and won the World Series.
Yeah, interesting. And because he got injured, was it game two or was it a little bit later? Because he wasn't that much of a factor in that series.
Right.
You know?
Last year.
Yeah.
Correct. He was banged up. Now he's ready to roll. It's unbelievable.
But, I mean, why not just put him on? Why not just Bonds him?
And no matter what.
No matter what.
Well, the issue is there's Betts and Freeman.
Yeah.
If you Bonds him, you know, like it was at one point, I think it was the night that Kershaw finished up his regular season pitching career in Dodger Stadium the other night, that Freeman, it was Betts and Ohtani on the base paths and Freeman at the plate. Freeman knocks in Ohtani and sends Betts from first to third, and there was a shot of all three of them running the base paths, and I'm like, that's $500 million running the paths. You know, like that, just one third of their team.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's why I guess you don't Bonds him, is those two are behind. And if Hernandez is gonna hit two home runs like he did last night,
right,
that's the issue of Bond. But it's a great idea. That, you know, Judge might be Bonds tonight against the Red Sox. You know what I mean?
Sure.
We could see how that happens. So if you were still buying out an entire section, you would do that for which player right now? Would you do that for right now? If you could buy out an entire... Because you did do that, right?
I did that.
That's a true story?
That was in like April of 96.
Who did you do this for?
I did it for Cecil Fielder. Yes.
Okay. Well, in
Anaheim. At the Big A.
Okay. So you got an entire section.
Well, I called and I just, you know, because I wanted to sit in that section. And they said, well, that section's, you know, it's an underattended game. That section's closed.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, what about this? How many seats are in that section? They were like 2,200. And I said, what if I wanted to buy all of them? I said, what kind of rate could you cut me? You know, like, what kind of deal could you swing?
And?
I think it came out to something like 7,000. So what does that break? Bad. That's like $4 to three,
yeah.
$3.24.
Well, I mean,
$4 a seat for a right field.
I was left.
Left field. Oh, because of him, right? Yeah, okay, left field. Yeah. What intrigued you about Cecil Fielder so much?
Just that it was, because I wanted to force the hand of the baseball gods, mm-hmm. hands of the god, and not just get a, you know, catch a foul ball, but catch a home run ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured if I've got the entire left field stands with a couple buddies of mine, I've stacked the deck.
And you brought your glove too, right?
I did. Yeah. I mean, we were hammered. We barely made it. We barely made it to the game. Somewhere online, there's an interview during, afterwards, getting there.
Yes.
With it's CBS sportscaster. Mm-hmm. It is documented.
Okay.
Yes, and
on the way to the stadium.
Yes, okay. And there's also a great shot in Sports Illustrated of me standing like this with a glove and like the empty stands behind me. We didn't catch anything that night.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not even from anybody else.
Nothing. Nothing. And the next night, in like not just in that section, like in our seats.
Mm-hmm.
Four home runs were hit.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
How about that? You can't force the hand of the baseball guy.
They call it game of inches, but it's really timing's everything.
Yeah, it really is.
What did Cecil Fielder do in that series?
So that entire series, I looked it up. He was 0-for-14.
Amazing. Amazing. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
But nice try, though.
Hey, you know.
Couldn't do that today, right? I mean, I don't know of any stadium where,
But who would the player be that you would want to catch a home run ball that you would buy out an entire section of a stadium? And obviously, it wouldn't be as inexpensive as $7,000.
No, I mean,
which player would it be?
It would be 50 or 60, if not 100, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, the problem with Ohtani is the power to all fields.
You can't.
Yeah,
right.
So you'd buy out like the whole thing and write.
Same thing with Judge. I think Judge can go power all fields.
Exactly. I think a guy you could predictably, or at least hopefully, wind up in the gun sights of his bat would be Schwarber.
I was literally about to say that. The problem is sometimes you have to buy the outside part of the stadium as well.
There's that.
Depending on which stadium you choose.
But the higher you get, the cheaper it gets.
Oh, okay.
So now we're back into the 15-20 range.
There you go. Third level right field.
Right. Right.
I think we're on to something.
But I'm not going to do what that lady did and go yank it away from my kid if I don't get it. Did you see that? What the hell was that all about? At that point, it's like that person, like, just first of all, needs to stay home most of the time, right?
Correct. I agree.
And if you're going to go out, don't go to an environment like that. That seemed like really triggery for her.
Where she could be triggered by a child. That's number one. Philly Karen is her new name?
Is that what they named her?
Philadelphia Karen.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah, you don't want to.
The kid made out, really.
The kid did eventually get what he needed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. It had a happy ending.
It did. It certainly
for
did.
Him.
Yeah, for sure. I have Charlie Sheen here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Book of Sheen is available wherever you get your books. AKA Charlie Sheen is available for streaming right now on Netflix. I have right here in front of me Wild AF, new alcohol-free beer. That's what the AF stands for, right?
That is what the AF stands for.
Thank you so much. Alcohol-free. So make sure that we're all on the same page. WildAFBrewing.com. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the beer. We'll talk about the doc. And then we've got a great celebrity true or false for you if you don't mind playing. This is going to be great. Charlie Sheen is here live on the Rich Eisen Show.
Thank you. Fun stuff.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
They got Willa. They got my daughter. I need to find her.
Director Paul Thomas Anderson.
You can save that girl.
Today, experience what is being called the best movie of the year.
This is the end of the line.
Not for you.
Leonardo DiCaprio, Sean Penn, Benicio del Toro, Tiana Taylor, Chase Infinity.
Let's go! Here
I am. One battle after another. Now playing only in theaters. Experience it in IMAX. Rated R. Under 17, unadmitted without parent. You can hide.
Back on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, Charlie Sheen is here. Is there anything in this documentary that you learned that you didn't know at all? That you learned something from your own documentary that's now on Netflix right now?
Interesting. You mean like a story that someone else told?
Yeah. That you were like, wow, I didn't even know that, that you're watching it back. Anything?
Nothing that like comes to mind right here, right now on, I don't know, live television.
Sure.
No.
Okay.
No.
Not really. So everything was.
You mean were there any like surprises?
Yeah, where you were watching your documentary back, now that you were seeing all the interviews from all the people in your life that sat down for it.
Yeah.
You're like, I didn't even know that.
There is one thing.
Okay.
I thought by now that John Cryer would have gotten over everything, or been a little less bristly about certain things, but that's all right. That's all right. Because you could tell. Have you seen the doc?
Yes, sir.
He was still kind of. He was even backpedaling or suspicious about would this doc ever make it to television? Yeah. You know, make it on the air.
Yeah, you could pick up a vibe. You picked up the vibe, is what you're saying.
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay, so that surprised you.
That surprised me. Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not hacking on John. John's a lovely man, and he was a dream co-star for the better part of a decade. You know.
I mean, the number of times that 2.5 Men videos show up in my Instagram algorithm, I've lost track. It's constantly showing up. You know.
I think it's more popular now than when it was broadcast. Originally,
and it was pretty damn popular when it was broadcast originally.
So, right?
Well, I'm sure. Yeah, it definitely worked out. for sure. And again, that documentary, AKA Charlie Sheen, is available for streaming exclusively on Netflix. We've got a celebrity true or false all set up for you, Charlie Sheen, to basically go through down your filmography here.
Oh.
Some of it may have already been asked and answered, but the heck with it. We have a celebrity true or false with Charlie Sheen. Hit it, please.
Celebrity true or false.
You can't handle the truth.
There you go. There you have it.
Nice.
Did you ever work with Nicholson? You ever work with Jack?
Never did.
Never once. Did you ever cross paths with Jack Nicholson?
Just at the Laker games in the 80s.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Just stroll past him?
Yeah.
Were you selling him?
At halftime, they'd have that lounge. You'd go and hang out. Yeah. One, I saw him coming in, and I'd just gotten engaged to my first wife, Donna, and I saw Jack, and he goes, well, that's good news for the rest of us. And I'm like, you know, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool.
Taking you off the board was good news for Jack? Well,
just that he knew that I was alive was cool enough, you know, but to then see value in my decisions, you know?
Man. All right, first up, true or false, Charlie Sheen. You stayed awake for 48 hours before shooting your scene in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I mean, true and false. Okay. I did stay awake, but it wasn't 48 hours.
Okay.
No, because I was 19. I hadn't built up yet that kind of
stamina.
Yeah, man. Yes.
So that's not makeup on you right there, or
well,
what?
They're adding to what was already there. I overslept.
Okay.
But I only stayed up till like 3 a.m.
Okay.
And I hadn't been up since the day before for the math to work for 40 hours.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. So that's an exaggeration.
Yeah, there was no dope in the mix. Okay. That's the thing, yeah. There was just like a, you know, trying to be cool and method.
So where were you when you, this was the very beginning of your career, right?
Early on,
Hughes directing.
Yes.
And Jennifer Grey was in the scene with you.
Jennifer got me the job.
How so?
She told John Hughes, I think I know who should play this role. Mm-hmm. And the character's name was Garth.
Yes.
And he said, who might that be? And she said, my friend Charlie Sheen. And so I went down there, and this is in the book and the doc. Thought I was going to audition, didn't. He just looked at how I'd prepared and what I was wearing and said, oh, great, we'll see you in a week. I was like, oh, okay. And then I showed up in a week, just not at the time they said I was supposed to be there. And so it's pretty funny because Jennifer was like really mad. She was on a heater when I rolled in.
Because she put herself out there for
you. Yeah. And I was showing up like a rank amateur, you know. And so in those first few shots in that police station where you see her, you know, that is all genuine. There's no acting on her part.
Because she's legit.
Oh, yeah.
Man, who knew you were helping her get into character? Did you at least tell her that afterwards? Hey,
no, but I mean, I think this many years later.
You should.
It's pretty apparent.
Yes,
you know?
Right. Nice. Next one up. True or false, Oliver Stone made the cast of Platoon go through a pre-shoot boot camp. Everyone was treated according to the rank of their character in the movie.
True. Like true, all caps true.
How so, all caps?
Just that, yeah, it was an intense 3 weeks in the Philippine jungle, completely cut off from the outside world. We dug our own foxholes and lived in them. Nobody showered for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you were treated, you went only by your character name and whatever rank you were in the platoon is how you, you know, where you fell on that ladder.
Did anybody take it too seriously, or you're just being pros here, like where they treated the rank like maybe knocking you down a peg because they were getting into the role of being outranking you or anything like that? Anything in that regard, Charlie?
Yeah, no? There was a couple times. Yeah. I mean, there's a term in the military. It's the FNG.
Yes, okay.
The freaking new guy.
Okay, right? Yes.
Yeah, right. So I got a lot of that.
From who? Do you remember?
From Barringer a little bit. From McGinley.
McGinley,
From Captain Dale Dye. Yeah, but that was just because, you know, we had to feel what that specific detail might feel like, you know.
Did you save one of your fellow actors in the shoot of Platoon? Like, literally save one of their lives as well?
No, I got saved by a fellow actor, by Keith David, who plays King in the movie.
Okay.
It was in a helicopter sequence that we were supposed to just go up, and Oliver just wanted some shots like buzzing the tree line and just inserts of us and shooting over our shoulders out into those canopies. And we hit a wind shear and the chopper like pitched left and my feet were on the skid and I could, you know, we weren't harnessed in.
Damn.
I know. And so I started feeling myself like leaving the helicopter and this hand like grabbed the back of my web gear and just held me until the chopper righted itself.
Right.
And then, yeah, it was a trip. I mean, it was.
Well, I mean, when you're going through this boot camp, were there any, I guess, flashbacks, for lack of a better phrase, to you being a kid on the set of Apocalypse Now with your dad?
Impossible not to have them. Yeah. And maybe not so much flashbacks, but just trying to come to terms with the reality that I was just here. Well, not just, but
right.
10 years earlier, while dad, you know, with dad, and he's narrating his Vietnam film, and I come back a decade later to narrate mine, and literally like some of the sets on Apocalypse, based on where we shot Platoon, were, you know, a quarter mile away. Like we were in the same region.
Damn.
Yeah.
That had to freak you out a little bit.
The odds. Yeah. That's the only thing I had to sort of just fight through. That, all right, this was meant to be. This is it's my turn, and that's okay. But it was. Yeah, who could have predicted that?
Yeah, I wonder if you would tell Berenger, who's the new guy around here? I was here as an 11-year-old. Yeah. What the hell? You know, yeah, I should be giving it to you.
Thank you.
That's what you should have been doing.
You're absolutely right.
You're just being a professional. I understand.
Yes, thank you.
Speaking of Oliver Stone, next up, Charlie Sheen, true or false, Oliver let you choose between Jack Lemmon and Martin Sheen to play your father in Wall Street. Is that true?
Wow. I he did mention Jack, but I don't know that it was. They're both available. Choose one.
Okay, so that's false then.
I just can't remember if he told me after the fact that after Dad got the part that he was seriously considering Jack Lemmon.
What was that like being acting with your dad in an Oliver Stone movie like Wall Street?
It was
that
amazing. Like? It was amazing. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really bringing my A game during Wall Street. There was a lot of distractions, you know, a lot of fun stuff going on.
Right.
That wasn't taking place at Jackson Steinem. That's our training firm.
I'm aware of that. Yes, Bud Fox. I'm aware of that.
Yeah. but no, it was. He, especially that scene in the elevator. I mean, come on, you know.
Yeah.
I cover that in the book.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, he's dad can be a little bit crafty when he wants to be.
Well, I mean, I know you got into the book, but if you want to reveal a little bit for our audience please.
No, he never, that classic line where, you know, the size of his wallet, you know, that
right.
thing. He never did that in a rehearsal. That happened in the first take when they rolled. And so I'm just waiting for it as he was doing it. And mm-hmm. suddenly it's, you know, half my face is on the elevator wall,
right.
you know?
Right.
It's a different level of surprise, you know, hopefully more than Rob got in fatigues with a ball bat on nice. Halloween. You know?
Mike Del Tufano, if you could see through the cameras, you going to hold that one up right there?
Oh my gosh,
that
wow.
is a brick phone.
Wow.
Which was signed by a previous guest on this show named Michael Douglas.
Is it really? That's amazing.
I don't know if that, it's a brick phone. Then he said he signed it AKA Gordon.
Wow.
If you wouldn't mind before leaving it, you sign the other side of it as Bud Fox.
I'd be insulted if I wasn't asked to do that.
That is great, because that is just one of the greatest scenes of him saying, this is your wake-up call, pal.
Go to work. Is it get to work or go to work?
Go to work.
Go to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Two lines that are amazing.
I mean,
that's
obviously.
You had so many lines.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
What was that like having a front row seat of, again, I know that you know, things were going a little crazy in your life, but
it's funny.
Watching Michael Douglas work in that role of Gordon Gekko.
But you mentioned it as a front row seat.
Yes, sir.
And that's really accurate, because there were times when, you know, I got caught just enjoying his performance.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, my line. Yeah, yeah, right. Of course, Mr. Gecko. You know, why would I think differently? I can't sit here and say, well, he was obviously going to win the Oscar, mm-hmm. but there was something really special going on with the, you know, just with the energy that he brought to it, you know. In the famous Greta's Good speech, I think it was like the second or third take, and mm-hmm. we were in a ballroom, and there was, you know, 200 extras, and Michael's in the middle of just, you know, what has become mm-hmm. one of the great speeches in cinema history. And at one point, Michael stops the take, and he says, hey, Oliver, I'm over here. Because Oliver, during that whole speech, had his face buried in the script, like making sure he got all the words right. That's in the book. He's not watching the performance. Like, who cares if he changed a word or went off book or something, right? So he's just like, wow. and he looks up and Oliver didn't say anything. He just kind of nodded. Yeah, in the book, I say in that moment I wanted to buy Michael Douglas a new car.
By the way, I have the same feeling whenever I'm on my phone and my daughter's talking. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, hey, I'm over. Like, we're talking here.
Right, right.
It's amazing
right.
that he would be able to be in the scene and notice what the director's doing behind the camera, not looking. That's kind of crazy.
But he's playing it out to audience, and I guess he caught Oliver like back there, and he's like, "You need to watch me."
I love it. Okay, moving on. Charlie Sheen, celebrity true or false?
Oh, we're still in the true or false thing.
Yeah,
oh,
brother.
Geez.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is the way we go down the memory lane here. Producers for Major League moved the mound up 10 feet to make your fastball appear to go faster.
Oh my gosh.
True or false?
Very false.
Okay.
Very false.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Oh. Ricky Vaughn was really bringing it. Is what you're saying?
60.6. Absolutely. Come on. Yeah. No, I mean, I probably topped out at 84, 85.
That's great.
But that was, you know, that was enough to create that, you know, 98 plus.
So you're okay. You're not pitching from 50 feet.
No.
6 inches.
No.
I like that you felt like, did you get a sense of he's insulted by that question?
Definitely offended.
Were you insulted by that question, I guess, right there?
Maybe more baffled by it than insulted. Yeah.
Hey, I'm just a guy reading stuff on the internet to see if it's true or false, Charlie.
Awesome.
Okay. What was it like shooting that movie, man?
Amazing. I mean, it was the only thing I didn't have the benefit of, because people are like, oh man, it must have been so much fun and exciting. It's like, yes and no, because it's so tedious. You got to get all the pieces. But then, I wasn't part of like a 5-man rotation. And so I didn't get any rest days. I wasn't like charting pitches after I, you know.
Were you icing down? Is that what you're saying?
Icing down, cortisone, all types of stuff.
Really?
Anti-inflams, yeah. Because I would throw 150 pitches until, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, come back the next day and throw 100 more. Oof. And there was no, because that's just how the schedule was built, you know. And then the most iconic shot, or one of the most iconic, you know, coming out of the bullpen, you know, as the first notes of Wild Thing drop. That was like 4 a.m. And there was like 50 people still there. And when they had to like position them in a way where they filled just the part of the stands that you see as I'm coming out, you know. But it was cool to see it in the movie. It was just like,
you got a good
hero entrance.
You got a good Euchre story? Bob Euchre? Is he on the set a lot? Or?
Well, it's he was, but he's kind of isolated in the booth.
He's shooting his own stuff. He wasn't down on the field.
Down on the field. Yeah, yeah. I went fishing with him one day, just on a day off.
He just invited me.
It was really cool. He knew a lot about fishing.
I'm sure
he
did. I
was really impressed.
Yeah. He's a backup catcher. I mean, I may imagine it's what he would do every now and then.
There's that.
You know what I mean?
There's that. Yeah. No. What a lovely man, though. Jeez, and I'd see him over the years, you know.
Well, I mean, that is as iconic a line of a movie or any sports movie ever, just a bit outside, you
and
know.
And you can find it at least once in almost every single baseball broadcast.
No question.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. I mean, as great as they come. All right, last one for you. Charlie Sheen, true or false, you were considered for Tim Robbins' roles in both Bull Durham and Shawshank Redemption.
Well, Shawshank, no. Shawshank, in my mind, I was considered.
Okay,
yeah,
very good.
Yeah, but Bull Durham for sure, because the producer, Mark Berg, became my manager after, you know, years later,
yes.
But was always a fan. So it really came down to Major League or Bull Durham. Because didn't they sort of both happen
much
at the same
so
time?
That's yeah. So it was, how did you wind up in Major League and not Bull Durham then?
I didn't find out about Bull Durham until after the fact. I think I'd agreed to do Major League by the time they were going to approach me and knew that I wouldn't be available, you know?
Huh.
I mean, as great as Bull Durham is, I think I wound up in the right baseball film of the two.
Why would you say that? Just for, because you could pitch or you, what? Like, Luke LaLoosh would be...
Well, but we never. I mean, you know, I was in the show, you know. You know.
Okay.
Great answer.
Charlie Sheen's not going to the minor league.
No, I wasn't futzing about AAA, you know.
Oh my God, that is so funny.
I mean, it's true, right? Yeah.
You were in the show. You're not going down to AAA, man.
No.
That is so funny.
Oh, right on. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Eight Men Out is also an incredible picture. And by the way, that's a movie you don't call a movie, right? Eight Men Out is just spectacular.
I've seen it once, maybe twice.
That's it?
Yeah, I haven't studied the film. It was cool to be part of that ensemble.
Yes.
You know, just it wasn't the best career move to follow up Wall Street with.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why I'm a little prickly about that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it is, again, I understand in terms of
people
career moves, whatever.
And people, they're...
It's incredible.
Okay, cool.
It really is an unbelievable
awesome.
Movie.
Thank
I
you.
Love it, and it is well...
Thank you.
It is one that, you know, doesn't get mentioned for great sports movies that should. I think John Sayles is an outstanding director, great cast. And it is a story, you know, that stands the test of time that we're still talking about today.
Sure.
You know, I kind of bring it all full circle with Pete Rose and everything, but that's a celebrity true or false that I knew was going to be as good as it turned out to be. Let's talk about your beer here before I let you go, sir.
Yeah.
Wild AF, and the AF, everybody stands for alcohol free.
Yes.
What's the genesis of it?
That gentleman sitting over on the other side of your studio called me. We've been working together for years, and
yes.
He says, "How do you feel about NA beer?" And I said, "Well, I don't have a lot of experience with it because back when I was still drinking,
yes, sir.
What would be the point?"
Right.
but then I spent a lot of time getting up to speed with how that category had evolved and what was available, and I was blown away, and then. Geez, a month later, we're on a plane to Boston to sit with Harpoon Brewery, and we start talking about this beer.
Mm-hmm.
And it took about 2.5 years. I was working on the doc and the book and the beer all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't something we just bolted on because there's suddenly all this media attention. No,
right.
this was what's amazing about it is I'm not a spokesperson for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in this moment, I sort of am.
Yes, sir.
But I'm a co-founder.
Okay.
You know, and it's like really good. I mean, it's excellent. It's not a mocktail. It's actual beer, just without the alcohol, you know?
It's available mid-November to those who have pre-ordered, available in stores early 2026. Get on right now by going to wildafbrewing.com. Get the book of Sheen, wherever you get your books, and also check out on Netflix the new two-part documentary, a.k.a. Charlie Sheen. We've barely scratched the surface of the things I wanted to talk about with you.
I have to come back.
Done.
Okay.
Done and done, sir.
Awesome.
See you next week.
That's true. How does Monday sound? Charlie Sheen is here, and you are where you are. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. We'll wrap up the show in a second.
Yeah.
I think Mike Del Tufo's got a brick phone for you to sign.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
All right, everybody, we're in Fuego, to use the DP phrase. That was so much fun.
That was amazing.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold here. Are we back on our, we're back on our radio network. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance protects small businesses with affordable coverage options. Quote today at progressivecommercial.com. What a blast. That went as well as I had hoped.
Money 10 out of 10.
Does sleep is now on the brick phone. Unbelievable.
It was awesome.
On the other side of Michael Douglas signing.
He gave a lot of thought, too. It wasn't just he sat there for a minute and he thought what he wanted to write. And then
Speaking of giving thought, it's a Thursday. And we end this Thursday show with another edition of Higher Register. Folks, if you're new to this, it's We Say Statements predicting what we think is going to happen in the upcoming week of the National Football League, but you have to go Higher Register to kind of believe it.
I don't know.
Hit it.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen shows.
But there could be.
Higher Register. Take of the week.
All right, Christopher, you're first up. What's your Higher Register take of the week?
Okay, so I'm looking at the week 5 schedule. Kind of big NFC matchup in Seattle this weekend. Tampa goes to visit the Seahawks. And I think when it's all said and done, we're going to look at this game and we're going to say, you know, I think the Seahawks are contenders after Sunday.
Oh, man. You don't believe it just yet? You don't think so just yet?
No, because there's some other NFC teams that I like a little bit better. But I think they're going to kind of take care of business. And we're going to be thinking, you know, I think Seattle's in the mix with the Super Bowl.
Okay. Good job, bro.
Okay, good one. TJ, what's your Higher Register take of week number 5?
All right, listen, this goes out to Ravens fans. I know Lamar is out this week, right? Okay. And I know you probably feel down and you're not
what's
going to happen.
Do it.
But
do
I got to be honest with you, Ravens fans. Take it from me, TJ Jefferson. Based upon what I saw Cooper Rush do during his time in Dallas.
Do it.
I think he's going to hold the fort down for the Ravens this week.
Yeah.
All right, TJ, nailed it.
That's your best Higher Register yet in terms of thought and execution.
Oh, I told you it takes
a while. Outstanding.
I didn't go
Higher Register. I didn't even just say that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I picked up on.
I truly believe it.
Cooper Rush season. Get familiar.
Okay, now here we go. Here we go.
Oh, Rich.
How are you going to follow up last week?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, when I said that the Chiefs are going to turn the corner. And they did. They turned the corner and hit the Ravens over the head to the point where it's Cooper Rush season.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go, guys. The bandwagon's been full since July.
True.
The number of people that came on this program all summer long, tell me the team that you're on, we're not talking about enough to the point where it's like you can't even choose this team anymore because everybody's talking about it. So this is now the week for the Denver Broncos to go ahead and show everybody on the bandwagon, welcome aboard. I'm glad you were there. Because I kind of think that the Denver Broncos are going to get it done and take out the Eagles this week. Kind of think the Broncos are well equipped to do it.
Wow.
When A.J. Brown wants the football, and who's better to keep A.J. Brown freaking out other than the reigning defensive player of the year, Patrick Surtain? You know, and then the rest of that rushing attack and the passing attack, here comes that Broncos defense. I kind of think they're going to do it.
Wow. I hope you're right.
That's the Higher Register take of the week.
That's nice. Yeah,
that is. So you can't just go out and say the Broncos are absolutely doing. You got to pay the Eagles the respect of going Higher Register.
Well, they're the champs.
Yeah. You can't just say, oh, the Broncos are going to do it. You got to be, I could kind of see it happening. Higher Register.
I give a shout out to Smitch. He called me this morning and he kind of, because I'm directable, and he kind of said, this is what you're doing wrong during Higher Register.
Smitch.
And he goes, well, you done. Should, and I was like, yes, Smitch, that makes sense.
Okay.
Because like I said, producing. I'm directable.
You're producible.
I'm producible.
And directable.
Yes.
You just went higher register and agreeing.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
that's
own.
The problem.
Which is best. See,
you just went higher register on yourself, man. Have some belief in yourself.
Yeah, baby.
Dude, that wasn't that bad.
If you want to parlay our higher registers, 8-1, just saying.
You got one? You got a quick one before you
I have a quick one.
What is it?
I really think that the Patriots got a chance against the
Bucs. Hey! Let's go. Drake May season.
I am all over his team.
Okay.
I like his team.
Well, until next week, you're going to flip-flop to another team.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's how he does.
Oh, I love the Giants.
You guys have all their tickets.
I think you're kind of full of crap.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.